Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. We're talking some Packers football. We're talking OTAs. To do that, we have a guest joining us on the line this morning. We have Chris Turlop of WDUZ in Green Bay. He's a producer, he's a host, he's a reporter. Chris, how many other hats do you wear over at WDUZ?
How many I do, but I enjoy every single one of them.
For those people who, at Cheesehead TV, we get people watching all over the country and all over the nation. Just tell them what is WDUZ and maybe how they can listen online, because I think a lot of them might be outside the listening FM, AM area.
Yeah, WDUZ is the only sports talk station that's in Green Bay. If you are in the area, it's 107.5 on the FM side, 1400 on the AM side. And if you are out of the area, we're online, thefan1075.com. And also, you can check us out on iHeartRadio and just search WDUZ. It'll pop up. Bill and Rookie are on every morning from 6 in the morning to 11 a.m. Then myself, former writer Chris Hobble, and former Packer player and coach and San Francisco Super Bowl champion Harry Sidney are on 4 to 6 every Monday through Friday.
Well, I tried to check you out as much as I can online, Chris, and I think you do a great job. You've had me on your show before, so I'm glad we could get you, repay the favor, and get you on Cheesehead TV here. Now, you were at Packers OTAs yesterday, and I think one of the big storylines coming out of practice on Tuesday was the offensive line. It was kind of the first look of the restructured offensive line with Brian Bulaga, Josh Sitton shifting over to the left side. How did they look at their new position?
Everybody looked great. I mean, Bulaga on the outside. I mean, obviously it's OTAs, it's guys in shorts, so you're not going to see a ton of stuff right off the bat. But one thing, notice Marshall Newhouse getting the first shot at right tackle, which I think everybody expected when you start a whole season at left tackle, and played all right. He did a decent job holding it down last season. You're going to get your first shot at right tackle. The 11-on-11 drills right off the bat with Brian Bulaga, Dayton Jones going at him. First two plays disrupted both of those plays in the backfield. I think Bulaga kind of took offense to that, and those two got into a little bit of a shoving match. But everybody looks good, him and Sitton together on the left side. I think that's going to work out. I mean, those two have played on the right side together before, so they have that chemistry. It's just making a little bit of adjustment to different kinds of rushers.
Yeah, I think Mike McCarthy made the comment that it's kind of his responsibility to face Brian Bulaga with guys like Clay Matthews, Dayton Jones in practice to get him going against the best. Did he happen to go against Clay Matthews at all? Was there that matchup? I'm not, you know, it's practice, it's May, but did that happen at all?
A little bit. It happened a couple times, but it was mainly him and Dayton Jones going back and forth. And like you said, it's practice. I think a lot of OTAs, especially the second one of the year, a veteran like Clay Matthews knows how to not go full go. Mm-hmm. Rookies like Dayton Jones, they get eager, they go full go, and sometimes coaches don't want to see that. They have to teach the players kind of how to practice coming in, because you don't want to see injuries happen on when you don't happen early on when you don't have pads.
Yeah, there certainly is different things you look for, different drills, certain things you're looking for as opposed to going full out all the time. But, you know, speaking of the offensive line here, the Packers are going to be without one member of their offensive line. As it was learned, J.C. Treader was injured yesterday. What's the latest on J.C. Treader, Chris?
Well, that was one of the things I looked for when I went to OTAs. I wanted to see if Treader was taking snaps at center, if they were immediately moving into that position, because that's the talk has been that he's going to slide inside and possibly be the heir apparent to Evan Dietrich Smith if he continues to struggle. And I'm sitting out the field, and nobody could find J.C. Treader anywhere. Nobody knows what's going on. So we get into the press conference, and Mike McCarthy addresses it right off the bat and says he's sustained an injury. He'll be out all of OTAs, but that's all I'm saying about it. We find later on through his agent that he actually broke his ankle in something that I thought was a peculiar fumble drill, sliding feet first like a baseball player recovering fumbles. It appears his cleat caught the turf and he broke his ankle, tore a ligament. He's going to be out at least 6 months.
Unfortunate. Yeah, I wrote about that a little bit at Cheesehead TV. I think it's kind of a foolish drill myself to be, you know, sliding feet for a lineman, but that's just me. Hopefully James Campen knows more than I do. But elsewhere on the practice field here, Chris, Sam Shields missed practice Tuesday because he's technically unsigned, the cornerback. How important are the reps Casey Hayward's getting without Sam Shields being in Green Bay?
I think they're huge right now, having him on the outside instead of having him cover the nickel position. I mean, Shields is a guy who was banged up a little bit last year. Tremont Williams has had his injuries that he's been able to play through. Devon House did not practice because he's still battling with that shoulder injury. The more reps that Hayward gets on the outside, the better it is for him because he's already proven he can play inside as a rookie. The versatility, his ability to be versatile is going to be huge for the Packers this year to avoid scrambling if somebody gets nicked.
I mean, Casey Hayward, he's the kind of guy who's played the slot a lot last year, played outside this year. You know, what's going to happen with Sam Shields? When do you think he'll be back?
I mean, that's tough to say. He has a value in his head that he thinks he's worth, and hopefully the Packers are close and they can get there, but I think it's not awful that he's missing right now. He's a guy who, yes, he missed time to injury, but OTAs, a guy like him who's been around the game for a few years, 25 years old, he doesn't necessarily need those. It's just going to take him a little bit longer to shake the rust off. I'm hoping sooner than later. I wouldn't be surprised if he missed these initial OTAs and hopefully comes in beginning of June would be a good target date.
Yeah. Just one more thing I wanted to pick your brain on here as we're talking to Chris Turlop of WDUZ here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central. Chris, the Packers experimented with Mike Neal at outside linebacker on Tuesday. Did you get a chance to see him? And do you think a guy who's 290 pounds can play outside linebacker in the NFL?
In a word, no. I really don't see. I'd like him to be able to, but at 290 pounds, that's really pushing him. You see Trent Cole, a good defensive end, making that switch. He's 275 pounds. You have Nick Perry, who's 265 pounds around there. I mean, those guys, that's pretty much the ceiling for the 3-4 outside linebacker. Anything past that, I think you're going to struggle playing in space at times. You're not going to have the same mobility. And Mike Neal, the guy I like a lot. He had a phenomenal game last year at Chicago. I was able to be there and see that. He had 1.5 sacks, and he really got after Jay Cutler. He's shown when he's healthy, he can provide a lot of pressure from the inside, even though at defensive end, he's able to get out on those stunts. And I think that's where he's most valuable. I think if you try to stand him up and have him play outside and rush from out there, it's a completely different approach. And I don't know if he has the ability to do that. He can, Mike McCarthy mentioned, you know, defensive ends in certain packages, they drop back and play that zone area and have to play in space. Well, there's a reason that it's only in a few packages, a few plays here and there. It's not a regular thing because that's not their natural ability. That's not where they're comfortable. It might have been a case if he was out there. Des Moses didn't practice yesterday. Nate Palmer's still a rookie, and I think they want Nate Palmer to kind of move into that Eric Walden role that he can fill in and rush from time to time. So I understand wanting to expand his role. I just don't think that if you expand his role to outside linebacker, he's going to be as effective as he would inside.
Yeah, I think it was more of an emergency kind of situation than anything, actually. But, Chris, I just, before I let you go, we got a comment here on our live blog from our Alex Talich. Just commenting on, I think before you even arrived at WDUZ, there was a parody account of the Twitter. Are you familiar with that? I've chuckled from time to time at the fan parody account at WDUZ.
I actually saw it when I came. That was one of the things when before I came up in October, I was kind of looking at it. I'm like, the Twitter presence for WDUZ is pretty much not existent right now. There was a Twitter handle that wasn't used. So I want to kind of bring that back. And I think the first couple days I was here, the fan parody was tweeting at me and kind of just making jokes. So it's always fun when that happens because it's interesting to see what the fans think before you get up here. And it's been pretty quiet since I've been up and posting. I think it's allowing me to kind of just take over and do its job for it.
Very good. Well, you're doing a great job there. Thanks for joining us here this morning and talking some Packers OTAs. Love to have you on again, Chris.
Anytime, Brian. Just let me know.
All right. Take care. Chris Turlop of WDUZ joining us here on a Wednesday morning at Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV. Thanks to him for joining us. And thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as we're kind of recapping the action that went on at Packers OTAs yesterday. The first public practice open to the public. The first opportunity for the media and the fans to see the Packers in action in a team environment. The offseason program has been underway for a few weeks. I think it actually starts as early as, is it March? No, I think it might be early April, perhaps. Yeah, early April. You know, they break it up into the three phases. Kind of, I think the newest collective bargaining agreement kind of set the record as to how things have to be structured in the NFL now. Phase one kind of just being strength and conditioning only. Phase two being individual position workouts, meaning the wide receivers practice together by themselves, the tight ends practice together by themselves, the defensive linemen practice together, but you know, there's no team element to phase two. And then now that we've hit OTAs, we're now in phase three. They can actually do teamwork, 7-on-7s, 11-on-11s, things like that. No hitting, no pads, anything like that. But they can actually run drills and plays and things like that, kind of get in sync. So that's what you're seeing now, and that's what happened yesterday for the first time this year. And you know, there's plenty to talk about here, from the offensive line to Casey Hayward and Sam Shields. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the outside linebacker situation here with Mike Neal. And I think Chris kind of hit the nail on the head a little bit with what's happening. Kind of got a lot of attention yesterday because Mike Neal was lining up at outside linebacker. Again, a guy who's 290-some pounds, kind of seems out of the ordinary. In fact, if you were to really do a good Google search, I think you could find something. It was like exactly a year ago, like in the off-season part of the year, there was actually talk about moving Mike Neal to outside linebacker kind of in the off-season, but slimming him down and kind of doing that. And then it never really came to fruition. Never really happened. He just stuck at defensive line. And maybe that was the smart choice. The smart thing to do is just keep him there and, you know, not try to make such a drastic change. But then for it to happen yesterday, actually taking some snaps and you know, seeing Mike Neal drop into coverage and things like that, and you go, wow, I mean, that's really outside the box thinking. But again, I think Chris hit the nail on the head. I think it was kind of an emergency situation. Now, there's two positions on the team that I think are pretty thin in Green Bay, and those happen to be number one, safety, which we've talked a lot about here on Railbird Central, but number two, I'd say outside linebacker is pretty thin as well. You know, of course, you've got Clay Matthews, and now you've got Nick Perry, who's expected to be the starter opposite Clay Matthews. Got to remember, Eric Walden, Frank Zombo are now gone as free agents. So beyond them, you've got Desmond Moses, kind of thought to be the number three outside linebacker. And then on top of that, you've got Nate Palmer. He was a sixth-round draft choice. He's a rookie. Desmond Moses didn't even practice yesterday. And on top of that, anything else is just like undrafted rookies. Andy Malumba of Eastern Michigan. You've got the kid from New Mexico State, Savage, Dante Savage. I mean, there's not really a whole lot there. You know, if those guys end up making the team, it's going to be a surprise. You know, with Malumba, Savage, those kind of guys. So I think they're just trying to get Mike Neal ready just in case something happens. You know, Desmond Moses didn't even practice yesterday. all of a sudden the Packers could find themselves in a position. They've got Matthews and Perry, but all of a sudden, what happens if one of those guys get injured? You know, what are they going to do? Is the rookie Nate Palmer ready? Is he ready for the NFL? Is he ready for prime time? He might not be. So I think that, you know, that's a just-in-case kind of situation. And, you know, there's no better time to experiment with it than right now. You know, better to get him acclimated and get him a couple snaps and get him used to it now here in May, you know, rather than taking the training camp at time in August and September to do so. I mean, you know, if they have to, they have to. But, you know, we're talking May here. We're talking May. So, you know, there's a lot, you know, going on here and a lot of time left before the start of the season. So I don't think you're seeing a whole lot, you know, a situation here where Mike Neal's going to make this full-time transition to outside linebacker or anything like that. But so, you know, I wouldn't, you know, put too much stock into it. And again, I think, you know, it's also a situation where, you know, the Packers go to their dime or even, you know, quarter defense, I think they call it, you know, when it's the opponent is down by two touchdowns and there's 1 minute left in the game and the Packers are simply rushing three and dropping eight into coverage. And so when you rush three players, Mike Neal might be out there to, you know, the three-man line, kind of your defensive end, outside linebacker hybrid, but he might be standing up in a two-point stance. So I think, you know, kind of getting him used for something like that as well. Now, the Packers did talk about expanding his role a little bit. I think Mike McCarthy used that term in his press conference yesterday. But, sorry about that. where was I? Now that I've got flustered and I'm getting phone calls that are not having to do with this show here. That's Railbird Central for you. Oh, another topic I wanted to touch on today, and I apologize for getting off track. And this hasn't gotten a whole lot of attention yet, but it has something a little bit to do with J.C. Treader's injury. J.C. Treader was kind of thought to be a center prospect for the Packers. You know, they've kind of been taking their sweet time with him, and I understand the Packers' perspective there. He played left tackle in college, but they're really not sure where he'll fit in the pros, whether he'll stay at tackle or end up being on interior offensive lineman. But it was kind of thought, you know, with Evan Dietrich Smith in the last year of his contract, you know, and just J.C. Treader's body size, kind of thought, you know, maybe he ends up being a center. You know, he's coming from the Ivy League. Matt Burke, of course, was one of those Ivy League offensive linemen who became a great center in the NFL. You kind of look at that and see maybe this is going to happen. But now J.C. Treader goes down. He's out for minimum. He's out for several months. There's no given that he's going to miss the entire season. People might be speculating that, but there's nothing official yet. In fact, if you go to read today's journal, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel JS Online, they actually give an example of somebody who went through a similar injury and came back to play in the season. So, you know, it's not unheard of that J.C. Treader will, you know, play this year. But anyway, talking about the center position here, you know, I'm going to throw it a little hypothetical. You know, what if that freak injury didn't happen to J.C. Treader, but happened to Evan Dietrich Smith? Now, seriously, just think about that for a second. What if a freak injury happens to Evan Dietrich Smith? What are the Packers going to do at center? What are they going to do? Think about that. I don't think many people are asking this question right now, but the backup center position in Green Bay is far from being settled. And you know what? There's a roster position at stake. The Packers have to carry a backup center because what if that injury happens in a game? I mean, Evan Dietrich Smith might make it through the whole regular season training camp, preseason, might make it through that uninjured and just fine. But then all of a sudden, what happens week one if Evan Dietrich Smith gets injured? What are the Packers going to do? It's a little bit of a scary thought. They got to carry some sort of backup center. You know, I know TJ Lang is kind of practiced there from time to time, as I've heard. But you know, it's been nothing more, to my knowledge, than just a little practice here and there. I don't know it as if TJ Lang is ready to play center. You know, if all of a sudden he's forced to play it, you know, full time in a game, if he's ready to, you know, make snaps to Aaron Rodgers, both, you know, under center and from the shotgun, I don't know if he's ready for that. You know, how accurate he is with those snaps, let alone his blocking responsibilities and trying to help people get lined up. You know, a lot of times the center is, you know, that position that, you know, gets people squared away. It's kind of a scary situation because, you know, I last year the Packers had Greg Van Roten. They were kind of making him an interior offensive lineman. A very similar situation to J.C. Treader in that Greg Van Roten came from the Ivy League. He came from Penn, played left tackle in college. But the Packers have almost made him strictly an interior offensive lineman, a guard and center. And he's been practicing at center. We know that. But is Greg Van Roten ready all of a sudden? Again, here, if a freak injury happens to Evan Dietrich Smith, are you ready for Greg Van Roten to be your starting center? I'm sure not. I mean, I hope he's the answer. I hope he does just fine. But, I mean, I have no reason to think he's ready for prime time. If he's ready to be the Packers' starting center. Now, the Packers do have a couple, you know, practice squad, you know, undrafted long shot type of options. You know, last year they brought in their practice squad late. They had Garth Gerhart. They had him on their practice squad toward the end of last season, signed him to a futures contract this offseason. You know, he's kind of been getting some reps there, and he's a true center. You know, the snapping part shouldn't be a big issue with him. And then they just signed as an undrafted free agent, Patrick Lewis of Texas A&M. You know, and he's a true center. He was Johnny Manziel's center there at you know, for the Aggies. So, you know, there are options there for the Packers. But, you know, these guys are such long shots. You just don't know if they're, you know, cut out for the NFL even. You know, what, let alone whether they can handle it. Are they simply cut out? Can they even block an NFL caliber defensive lineman on a consistent basis? So, there's a lot to square away here. A lot the Packers have to figure out. I mean, I don't know if they were planning on J.C. Treader kind of being the backup center, but there is a roster spot at stake and you know, an injury away from the offensive line being in real shambles. I mean, just because of one player. I mean, if Evan Dietrich Smith were to get hurt, you almost got to think like the Packers would have to go out and make some sort of move. I don't know what sort of veteran free agent centers are out there, whether they could go try to coax Jeff Saturday out of retirement maybe, or who else might be available, make a trade. Making a trade would be quite a stretch, but anyway, it just has gone through my mind. It's a little bit of a scary proposition. I'm trying to see some questions here in the live blog from Evan. I assume you don't know because the Packers are so tight-lipped, but any idea what's keeping Johnny Jolly out? Yeah, the Packers, Mike McCarthy has been asked several times, and he just says he's going through the process. And I take that to mean the legal process. I literally think Johnny Jolly is trying to get squared away with legal obligations like you know, where can he work while he's under, what's the term I'm looking for? Under probation, you know, because he wasn't in prison in Houston. He might have to get some sort of work permit, whereas he can le actually leave, you know, the state of Texas to come up to Wisconsin and things like that. So I really do believe that that's what they're trying to get squared away. And I did notice on Twitter, as I've been told here from several people, that Johnny Jolly had actually tweeted that he'll be back in Green Bay on May 23rd. And then just yesterday, he tweeted John Rayhor, formerly of Cheesehead TV, just on the social network that he'll be back May 28th. So it kind of seems to be pushed back further here. But apparently Johnny Jolly will be back at some point, you know, hopefully before the end of OTAs here. He'll get some practice time and get a little bit of reps under his belt. But yeah, I really do believe that Johnny Jolly is simply going through a legal process and trying to figure out, you know, his probation terms and where he can work and where he can live. I do believe that's what's happening. Alex Talich asked on the live blog, how did the new tight end look? I forget his name. I assume you're talking about Matthew Mulligan, kind of the guy signed to replace Tom Crabtree. Matthew Mulligan was signed as a free agent this offseason. You know, I didn't hear anything about him. You know, I will pass this along about Matthew Mulligan. There was an article written over at Packers.com, the team's official website, several weeks ago now. This was before the tailgate tour, even, because they had trailed Randall Cobb around during the strength and conditioning part of the offseason. They kind of followed him around for a day of strength and conditioning, the types of workouts he did, the lifting he did, and working with medicine balls and things like that. So if you go through the archives there at Packers.com, in that article, there was a mention about Matthew Mulligan in that Randall Cobb and everybody, the whole team, had a contest sometime in April, to see how far they could throw a heavy medicine ball over their head. And Matthew Mulligan won this contest out of every player on the team, or maybe it was just out of every player out of their workout group or something like that. But that's the one thing that stuck out to me about Matthew Mulligan, the new Packers signee at tight end. I wasn't at practice yesterday. I didn't see a single tweet about the guy from the beat reporters, so I couldn't tell you how he performed on the field yesterday. As we know, he's not kind of expected to be a receiving type of tight end, or at least not used heavily in that capacity. Going to end up being more of a blocker. But there you go. There's my little story about Matthew Mulligan for you. Take it for what you will. But it's 9 a.m. here on a Wednesday morning at Cheesehead TV. Thank you so much for joining us. That's going to be it, folks. I'm taking off for Memorial Day weekend. There's going to be no show on Monday, no show this Friday either. So I'm taking off for two episodes. Going up north and up in northern Wisconsin to see my parents and my brothers and sisters for the weekend. So going to take a few days off here from Railbird Central for Memorial Day weekend. But I hope everyone has a good Memorial Day of their own. And we'll see you back here exactly 1 week from today. Next Wednesday will be the next episode. So we'll see you later, everyone. On behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Kirvu. And I leave you today with a song called Feed the Wolf by Conspirator on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go, Pack, go.